Hello, I can't hear anything. Hello.
Hey, sing him and do it. Sing and do it.
I can't hear anything.
Tenzin, can you hear me?
Yeah, I can't hear anything, yeah. Now I can hear you.
You can hear me, but you can't hear Geshe-la?
Yeah.
Hello?
Yeah, now I can hear Geshe-la.
Okay.
Yeah.
I think
no.
Three people over there, I think they don't know what they're doing. Okay. Okay. Sing do it,
huh?
I'm going to go to the house.
I can't hear. Hello, I cannot hear now. Hello.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, right now it's fine. You know, I think something, maybe connection, then after a while, it just kind of gets us, you know, voice gets cut off.
Comes, goes.
No. That is again. Right now it's okay.
Sing it away.
That will do okay.
So much time to take it, I think.
No.
All us. Then I run the Toma Loki. Shooting his Sava in and drag game by in and drag Karina. Ali, you thought in any two dug be jins hitting ever the sandwiches.
Good
on the Ali Dizzy.
I don't know. What I want to say first is this, that whether we have been following spirituality or dharma for a while and maybe consider ourselves as long-term dharma students, or that we have been into dharma recently as new students, what is important for all of us is this, that we should consider and reflect upon the reasons why spirituality is needed in our life.
Then mar da de da. Da ne che dug bi che kare sna ngara cho ge. Gejete. Gejete ane gebo de chibo. Ta le bi cho gang ina te ngara cho gu gu yar was. Ta te yong sa de ha ko gu yar.
I think somehow Kishala's voice was getting chopped. As we consider the reasons why spirituality or dharma is important and needed in our life, this is one of the things we need to consider, which is deep down, all of us are seeking, peace, happiness, prosperity, success. As a matter of fact, everything that is, that's good. So if that's what we are seeking, then it's really important to find out what could bring us all these good things that we seek. What is the source of peace, happiness, success, prosperity, and so on?
Ane ta ju megiwa ta lomal lomal lomaten ten ta maju yuwa yuwa mares.
Again, so on the day again, because that everybody just tell you. Still, I think there's some problem in the phone line. Geshe's voice is getting chopped into little pieces somewhere. I'm just trying my best to listen to him. So now when we consider the source of peace, happiness, prosperity, and everything that's good, and we investigate what brings us all the good things we are seeking, we will come to see that actions are the sources which are negative or unwholesome, and actions and sources which are neutral, in the sense neither positive nor negative, so those sources or the actions cannot and do not bring happiness, peace, prosperity, and all that we are seeking.
Ju gyawala tenin drepe dewan jungwa ting xeba xe ne andi sen ya ne ene ngaran su chwe dwe ta chanpa yuk chabu xe gundu was.
So the important point that I want to make here is, as we see and understand that it is from positive actions or wholesome actions, good karmas, as the real source of happiness, this is what really brings us all the good things that we are seeking. So with that understanding or the knowledge, then we should get inspiration to make more efforts and consistent efforts to cultivate spirituality.
Ki me chekpa de chu ane jibala ta kanje mende peri ngaran so mende peri kande ki chindi thole yombe yene den de chama lo ane ju mege we teni ju mege wala teni yong go yores ti shomba des.
We should understand that all the problems and suffering that we do not want, but we may experience and we do experience in this life, they are the results of negative karmic actions or bad karmas. And it's from our own negative karmic actions that we experience problems such as all kinds of sicknesses, or that we experience destruction by floods and by fire and so other kinds of the problems that we face in our life.
This one ta so jane ta migewate pangugal gewe gewat dukang tu dugugal.
So by talking about how good karmas bring good results and bad karmas bring bad results, so the lesson that we need to learn from all of this But the real point of discussing and understanding these issues is that we should apply ourselves into actions accordingly. In other words, that we pursue positive or good karmas, which bring good things, and we learn not to create negative karmas or stop creating negative karmas, otherwise those karmas bring us unwanted problems and suffering.
Hola ta ge mege ke le gara le sa sa ke sinan da ta le sa sa ke yete ta zo sengi res.
So when we think in terms of accumulating and creating, creating and accumulating both positive and negative karmic actions, the primary, if you will, the reference, or the, what we call the object of reference, is a sentient being. In other words, that it is in relation to animate beings or sentient beings that we create and accumulate positive and negative karmic actions. What I'm saying here is that we mostly, underline the word mostly, create and accumulate positive and negative karmic actions in relation to sentient beings. Yes, of course, there are times that we create and accumulate karmic actions, both positive and negative, in relation to enlightened beings or realized or holy beings. But those are not as, as many, or how should I say, not as, mostly as we do such actions in relation to sentient beings.
Tāng jī sīngjē nā tēnē kāntē sāgvēr sēnā ālē dōshīn tā mīgī vērē lē kāntē sāgvēr sēnā pēnā rāng lū chī lē ānē sō chē pā tāng ānē māshīn pā lēng pā tāng ānē dēpē lōpā rēng pā tāng sāma lō tā jī sīngjē tēng kō tō wās.
So how is that we do most of our karmic actions in relation to sentient beings, if you ask? For example, we can talk about three negative karmic actions of the body, of physical actions, and they are killing, stealing or taking what is not given, and adultery or sexual misconduct. Now these negative physical karmic actions are created in relation to sentient beings.
The songs that I have covered Shani, Luigi Le Sumbo, Miguel Le Sumbo, the Pango.
So by understanding how we create such negative karmic actions in relation to other people and other beings, then we should, stop. We should learn to stop creating those actions. And then let's take a moment to talk about the four negative actions of speech, or four verbal negative karmic actions. And as most of you know, these are lying, causing disharmony, or dividing among friends and people who are close to each other, and using unpleasant speech or harsh words, and idle gossiping. So all of these negativities of speech are again created and accumulated in relation to other beings.
Yes.
And then there are the three negativities of mind, and they are covetousness, harmful intent, and wrong views or distorted views. Of these three negativities of the mind, the first two are really primarily accumulated in relation to other people and beings. With regard to wrong views, in Tibetan called Lokta, you know, there are different forms. For example, we could talk about a wrong view in the sense that one denies the law of cause and effect, or that one holds a wrong view of deny that the three jewels don't exist. So such wrong views are not something created or accumulated in relation to other sentient beings.
अने मेगे जुबो ते फा पांग ने पांग बई ना ते लोशो ते ला ने ता रंग के ने गेवे ता गेवे जि सांग गे ते नामी यि दोंग वा जिंग गे रे मेगे जुबो ते शे बई ना नामी यि दमो वा ता गा ने रंग मे दे पे रे किन जुंग गे रे अ ते पांग बई ना रंग गे बे ता अने देवा ते जुबो ता देबो ते जुबो हि ता यु ना ते थोनि गे रे.
So I have kind of gone through the list of 10 negative karmic actions of body, speech, and mind, and explained how we mostly create and accumulate them in relation to other people and other sentient beings. Having said that, so as we understand those negativities and then we stop creating them, then such actions become what we call positive karmic actions of body, speech, and mind. And so our goal is to study and understand the law of karmic action and its results, and then follow it accordingly, in the sense that because we want peace, happiness, prosperity, and the best of everything, then we must do the positive actions of body, speech, and mind. Because we do not want any kind of suffering and problems, so therefore we must not do the negativities of body, speech, and mind. And what we should also understand as, from the explanation I just gave, is that sentient beings, who constitute the basis in some sense for our karmic actions, good and bad, are very precious. You know, it is in relation to them that we do create, and we could create both positive and negative karmic actions. So therefore, we should understand, how sentient beings play, if you will, an important role, in our life. And I just,
briefly
mention how, peace, happiness, and the goodness that we are seeking, it comes from, how we positively relate to other sentient beings. But we really need to think more about these matters and try to go more deeply into this matter. When we look at our life that is here and now, all of us have this wonderful, precious human life. And this wonderful life, you know, is the result of positive actions that we have accumulated in relation to other sentient beings. For example, one of the essential causes of finding this kind of life, a precious rebirth, is to abide by pure ethics of abandoning negative actions of body, speech, and mind. And so we could only do that in relation to other sentient beings. Now remember that I just run through the list of 10 negative karmic actions of body, speech, and mind. When we abide by the abandoning them, that's again in relation to other sentient beings, so then, you know, that is a primary cause of finding a good rebirth, such as the one we're enjoying now.
That me you think to tell and aranzo sayata koyata tungata antenita manzo zambu yung yoruba tanda yoruba sti shumba the kanishum brasana shewang hama rang jimbe jimbatani sinjin yen jimbatan ti namite ni ta rang tanda ota sigula sopa sigwe nimala sopa to tamal ta yakuji to shumba res.
And in this life, you know, we have, you know, in, how you say, been able to enjoy good food, clothing, shelter, you know, the place of dwelling, and so forth. And all of these things are the results of, you know, good karmic action that we practiced in the past. Namely, that we practice generosity or giving in our past lives in relation to other sentient beings, and as a result, in this life, so we are not poverty-stricken. You know, we are able to have good food, good place to live, you know, and good clothing, and all these wonderful facilities. I'm not saying it's just simply just something I make it all up. As it is stated in the authentic Buddhist literature, and Geshe-la quoted the line, that it is very befitting for the resources or the wealth to come from generosity or giving, because generosity or giving is the primary source of resources. Just to kind of recapitulate the important points that I, you know, have made thus far, I started off reminding all of ourselves that we really need to consider and reflect upon the reasons why you know, we need spirituality in our life and what it could do and what it does to our life. So the bottom line is that, you know, is this, that if we do want happiness, prosperity and goodness, we do not want any kind of problem and, you know, suffering, then we must not harm or hurt other sentient beings. You know, we should, you know, relate positively to them. So understanding that from our own positive and beneficial actions, that is when we benefit other sentient beings, when we care for them, then from such thought, positive thoughts and actions, that we are able to have you know, positive results. So with that knowledge and understanding, then in this life also, we need to make more efforts to benefit other sentient beings, to think positively about others, to cultivate love and compassion and altruism for others.
So
How can we stop hurting or harming other sentient beings, if you ask? One of you know, the ways to do that is if we reflect upon how sentient beings have been kind to us. When we see that connection, sentient beings have been very kind to us, and therefore, you know, we cannot be ungrateful. So with that kind of understanding and a thinking or state of mind, then we, you know, do not find ourselves harming others, even thinking about, you know, hurting others. As I talk about this issue, how sentient beings have been kind to us, I mean, do such thoughts such as this you know, arise in your mind, you can say that, yeah, there are beings who have been kind to me, but then there are X, Y, and Z who have not been kind to me, and so why should I bother about them?
Honest. Ani ti ta chora chora chen re chen di le ani so so le pen tang khi ta pe so so le zawa shen khi ge ta me chi yar was te teng do is.
Okay, how about you know, someone and some people, you know, who have been very nice to you in this life and who have given you a lot of love and care and who have you know, benefited you in many different ways. So, I mean, consider such people in your life.
So, that any tere samnung yapa do yakus tangoris. Karin isse na sin dele ani pe churan le yakus singhi di ani pe pemba dunghi ta ran gabu singhi te ani tu ta do ni taka yungur sang dois.
So now, as you imagine these, you know, person or people who have been very loving and caring and who have, you know, benefited you in many ways, do you think that this person or people will always be this way, kind, loving, caring, you know, for you in different, I mean, times and different, I mean, states of existence?
That didn't get any transact is not person that meety. And yet that ring to see an end of Sanya, that any that do something to it. Dintran did the Anil, Dawan did the loan del Tahaji to see him be in the young. And any Dintra Jema Tan, Tahana, Dawa Jema, the Lord Jema Lani, and they Tahara do is something each year was. Each is a tour was.
So can we have, you know, trust in this person or these people who have been very loving, caring, and nice and kind to us now, that, you know, we could say that they are not going to change? If this is the people, you know, person or people we're thinking in the morning, that these people are not going to change in the afternoon or in the evening, or not the next day, or not this week, or not next week, not this month, not next month, not this year, not next year. Do we really have the certainty and the trust to say, confidence, that these people are going to remain just the way they are? So if we consider such questions, and maybe you might have experienced already the changing nature of relationships or the situations, or maybe we ourselves have not experienced these things, but we have seen or observed other people go through these things, how, you know, relationships are changed from, you know, in some sense, from, you know, good to bad and worse, or how situations are changed from good to bad and worse.
Rangle mendu kinchi ta rangle pe rangle neba shingi ta neba shingi ta rang thone di neba shingi jin samba antende ji ke mi ji ti es ane ya lo tan dawa ta yama she ne ndu sin chu je ne pe su su ne pe tang ke ji yu ya ta yung du gas de choran so to la shong yu ka bre mi yin to la shong ya de choran so ha go gur ba.
I think Geshe-la's voice is really getting chopped into pieces. It comes like that. Anyway, I'm listening as carefully as I could. Now consider another person, you know, who we, from our side, from our point of view, we consider that person, you know, has harmed us, has not been nice to us, so we do not like this person per se or these people. But now consider more deeply, you know, has any such person in our life that we knew of now later changed and become very close to us and our friends? You know, and if we ourselves have not experienced such a thing, I mean, do we know of people who have experienced this, that before they didn't like each other and they were harming each other, but later, you know, things change, relationships change from, you know, worse to bad to good and better, and such the situations, and now they're good friends. So if we really, consider such thinking or contemplation, reflection, and the reasons involved in our thinking, then really what happens is when we understand that relationships are not fixed, you know, friends become enemies, enemies become friends, or they could, both of them, enemies could become friends and friends could become enemies, and these things, you know, do happen and have happened and may happen in the future. So when we consider these things very rationally and investigate these matters, then what we really come to understand deeply is that nothing is fixed here. So we cannot look at people who we see as enemies and as if there's something fixed nature here. They are forever and ever be our enemies and we are going to hate them forever. Or they are going to hate us forever. No, things could change. Nothing is fixed here. In the same way, you know, and so we, our anger and animosity and, you know, hatred can be directed at them as if these are the fixed, you know, objects. Now the same thing goes with our friends or people we love so much and we see as our best friends or dear to us. And we cannot be obsessively attached to them as if, you know what, these people are fixed in the nature of friendship. They will forever and ever be our friends and they will never become our enemies. We don't know that. See, nothing is fixed here. So as we really deeply consider these matters, then we started to feel and understand that, you know, we cannot be too extreme in the sense of our anger and attachment. We cannot be obsessively attached to friends and near ones and be gung-ho about them. Neither can we be so hating and, you know, miserably hating other people as our enemies and be so gung-ho about that one, because nothing is fixed here. Things are in the state of flux.
Oh, yeah. That then they get and so on. When I send you,
So we in some way try to understand how friends could become enemies, enemies could become friends, and nothing is fixed in our relationships and situations, so therefore we cannot be obsessively attached to friends or obsessively hate the enemies. But also now we need to kind of, add a new dimension to our thinking or reflection. That is, when we really look carefully, our relationship with other people, in most of the cases, people have been, you know, more beneficial to us than not. In other words, how much others benefit us versus how much others harm us, we give a number here. Okay, think about 100%. I think 95% of the time people have been nice to us. Okay? Only 5% maybe they have been nasty and bad to us.
So that since you get some of the that did not your resource some against some of the running game be singing that to know you can't do it to singing some of the run a cutting chamber in but in those 10 to go over thing about the 10 to go over.
So when we really think in terms of how you know other sentient beings have been kind to us, this is what we need to consider, that mostly sentient beings have been kind to us, like 95%. Maybe 5% they have harmed us or not being nice to us. So we really consider that all sentient beings, including the animals, you know, when we think in terms of many lifetimes, that sentient beings have been kind to us in many different ways.
Ani ngaran chogu ta khunzul nebe shig marabas ngaran chogu nebe shig zo ko kadin chem member ta ane tendi ke waran la pe pe ta ba pan pe ta ba pe zang bo ta ba gansa ki yin ba jisan ma tang ba shin thing nebe shig marabas.
So if we really feel and remember the kindnesses of all other sentient beings, of course we are not going to feel hatred towards them. We are not going to think of harming them. So, you know, when we really don't think about how sentient beings have been kind to us, or we even don't really consider that matter, this is why then we started to, you know, how should I say, find
ourselves, hurting others.
So we find in Lojong or mind training tradition or the text or thought transformation tradition, there are many good reasons and rationales being given, you know, to support the thesis that sentient beings have been very nice and kind to us and we should repay their kindness. And as Geshe-la quoted the stanza from memory from Geshe Langri Thangpa's 8 verses mind training or thought transformation, in which he says that, may I be able to see all sentient beings as being more precious than a wish-fulfilling gem. And with that understanding feeling, both day in and day out, may I be able to cherish other sentient beings more than myself. See? So that is really, how to say, how we train our mind to appreciate the kindness of others. And, you know, we learned to cherish others more than self.
This is why, I am saying that.
So the point I'm trying to drive home today is that we should, you know, understand the reasons to be able to appreciate it and see that sentient beings are very precious to us. And as a matter of fact, that a lot of the good qualities, the positive qualities that we develop and the positive actions we do are due to, you know, sentient beings. Sentient beings are the basis, you know, for our development of positive qualities.
That's Shamba, Toronto, Yamabu Koyar was Shamsis, Shamba the Tsewa, you put the Sachim by Yimbachitang around to Tadani, Shiba Dumba Sung was. There's the thing you put the Shamba the Tsewa, you put the Ranjuli Shesa, the Yip Kari Yis Saint Jerry's.
You have heard so much about you know, love and compassion and how these are precious states of mind and we must all cultivate them. But, you know, as we think in terms of cultivating love and compassion, maitri and karuna, so we, you know, we could cultivate them, it is in relation to sentient beings. So again, the sentient beings are the basis for cultivating love and compassion.
Shambhata tsava nyimbhuti, shesakhi yit senti rimato, sata, dota, hing, semeke, ane semeke, ane ta, girubshina mindui, semeke, ngobola teni sing mindhuwas.
So it is in relation to sentient beings that we are able to appreciate and cultivate love and compassion. We cannot cultivate love and compassion in relation to inanimate objects. We don't cultivate, and we couldn't cultivate love and compassion in relation to rocks and pebbles and trees and leaves. We could only cultivate love and compassion in relation to, you know, animate beings, not inanimate objects.
Yes. So beyond
the development of love and compassion, when we talk about cultivating altruism, bodhicitta, altruistic state of mind, now this could be cultivated, you see, taking sentient beings as our focus. Focusing on sentient beings, you know, we cultivate, you know, altruistic mind of enlightenment. So you ask, how is that? How do we cultivate altruism or bodhicitta, taking sentient beings as the focus? Because in the very nature of what altruism is, it is cultivated for the sake of benefit of other sentient beings. So we focus on all underlined sentient beings, and then we seek complete enlightenment for their sake or benefit. Such a state of mind is called altruism or bodhicitta.
So
when we cultivate bodhicitta, or in Tibetan called Changchu Jisim, altruistic mind of enlightenment, we focus our mind on all sentient beings. And then, you know, one of the techniques we use is that I would like to invite all sentient beings as my guest of honor. And I would like to, you know, find complete enlightened state in order to liberate those sentient beings who are not liberated from misery or suffering. I would like to seek enlightenment in order to liberate sentient beings from the two mental obscurations, obscuration to liberation and obscuration to omniscience. I would like to, you know, find complete enlightened state in order to give sigh of relief to the sentient beings who are caught up in the unfortunate state of rebirth. So basically, we are focusing on sentient beings and their problematic situations, and develop this really truly caring state of mind, genuine sense of caring, and it is for their benefit that we seek complete enlightened state. That's what bodhicitta is all about.
Well, Singila never share some tani yakumari, never share a yakumari, never share me, some of the tummy in a yakumari stumney. Tati, Maranzo Pepa, Kayakal, Lingin, and Haran used some samba shene, never do some tongues.
King Edipa, I will say a single again.
In Cogno.
So I have shared some of these, you know, thoughts and ideas with the intention of benefiting all of you and myself as well. I thought that these are relevant to all of us, and we might all, you know, appreciate these ideas and do reflect on these to derive benefit for ourselves and others. And so the main point that I'm trying to drive home here is that, you know, we should, you know, develop the state of mind not to harm or hurt sentient beings. So that's very important. Of course, we have been habituated deludedly for many lifetimes, and harmful thoughts might arise or do arise in our mind, but as soon as they arise, you know, we should be able to stop them right there, and we should, you know, try to bring to our mind antidotes to counteract such harmful thoughts, and by thinking that it is really not appropriate to have such a harmful intention. It's not appropriate at all to, how should I say, act that harmful intent, and so we should really bring to our mind a positive way of thinking, and also remind ourselves of the sense of responsibility, that I have taken responsibility upon myself not to hurt other sentient beings. Now we will return to where we left off in this wonderful text called A Miscellaneous Collection of Kanapa Geshe's Advices.
That cussing him at Duntang him, Karsita. Kiri, here at any teacher, she wishes to was. The Kari and Senna, Kunzo Sanjus and Attendus, Sanjus sent me with the Jonghuar. Sanjay Kumar, Toba Shevala, Kunzo Sanjus and Attendus, Sanjus sent me with the Rangula Mashepa. Sanji Kumba Toba Tobji never that toy yomar. So that the Toba Shabala goes up Sanji send the tender, Sanji send with the Rangi Shaku, Shabba Shabba Jonku, or Cousin Bus.
Just to remind you of the main topics that we, you know, we're discussing for quite some time, you know, last year, and so that is, you know, we need to cultivate the two types of bodhicitta or mind of enlightenment, and they are conventional bodhicitta, conventional mind of enlightenment, and ultimate mind of enlightenment. So we need to cultivate these two minds of enlightenment within ourselves, without which we cannot attain complete enlightened state. In other words, we can never be a Buddha without these two minds of enlightenment. So if these are the minds of enlightenment we must cultivate, then the question arises, how do we do that? How do we cultivate these minds of enlightenment?
Ane sanju ji sanyi bo de jong ba shepa la ale tanda te tsawa sum ta ane yin la gu ane si kasing e hyu char ba sa ha tanju ane sheba sheba tsa ma zi ta nyongwa ten go do ba sa.
So to answer that question, how can we cultivate the 2 months of enlightenment? Of course, there are many different ways and approaches to do that. But, you know, we were discussing and we did discuss based upon the words of, you know, great Domtempa, that there are three main points, key points or principal points, we call tsawasum, literally meaning three roots. And then there are 9 supporting points or secondary ponds called Yamaku, literally meaning nine branches. So basically, there are three key ponds and nine supporting ponds, and which basically comprehensively, if you will, provide us the methods, the best of the methods, as a matter of fact, to cultivate the 2 months of enlightenment. So we did cover all those points last year.
Tenzo kasi chenzole ni rangju chigi salai tenzo rangju chigi do cover ta ni ma rapturo skin ni gres ni do cover bas.
And I remember giving you assignment last year. I said, well, there are those three main points and nine supporting points, and those would be your assignment, and you should really think about them. And I just trust that you did that. And now I'm going to quickly maybe kind of run over through this
point.
Okay, are you able to recall what are the three main or the key point, the three fundamental points here? I hope somebody is answering there.
Okay, Shala
said, well, nobody need to really speak up. He just asked to raise the question so that all of us get a time to think about the answers in our mind.
Oh, yeah, thank you.
So if you are able to recall, so that's very wonderful. If not, then you got to listen more carefully this time. So now the first one is called Lo Chong Wa, means mind training or training of the mind, as we say. And the second one is called accumulation. So the second one is accumulating merit, and then the third one is called searching for concentration. In other words, cultivating concentration or samadhi. So those are the three key points. So those are the three main points, and then when we talk about the nine supporting points, so basically we are looking into each of these main points more into details, if you will. So in other words, the nine supporting points are more sort of elaborating on the three fundamental points. So the first main point is mind training or the training of the mind. Now it has three supporting points. The first one is meditating on impermanence. So in other words, if we want to train our mind, the first thing is we have to consider and reflect upon impermanence or transitoriness. Especially when we consider, the death and dying, and we consider that, that is sure to come. There is nothing mystery about that. And especially when we consider that we don't know when it is going to happen, uncertainty of time of the death, and what could really stand by us at that time and afterwards. There is nothing except the Dharma. So when we consider these really points and issues deeply, then we really develop this inspiration inside that, before death hits me, I must, make every effort to cultivate spirituality so that I can withstand the death and after death. So that's why it's so important.
Oh, yes.
So the second supporting point of mind training is, you may recall, is called cultivating love and compassion. In order to cultivate and experience bodhicitta, altruistic mind of enlightenment, we must first cultivate great love, mahamaitri, and great compassion, mahakaruna. Without cultivating great love and great compassion, there is no any other way around or a back door to slip through and experience bodhicitta. As it is stated elsewhere in the profound prayers, that by way of cultivating great love, great compassion, and the special willpower to take responsibility of all sentient beings upon ourselves, myself, may I be able to, generate and enhance bodhicitta for the benefit of all sentient beings. Please bless me.
Voilà.
Then the third supporting point for the mind training is meditating on the two types of selflessness of a person and selflessness of phenomena. So basically what we see here is, first we meditate on impermanence, then we meditate on love and compassion, and then we meditate on the two selflessnesses. So now, out of the three main or the fundamental points, we talked about the first one, which is mind training, and its three supporting points. So now the second point, which I already mentioned, so you know that was the second main point. So that is accumulating merit. In order to cultivate bodhicitta, in order to become complete enlightened beings of Buddhas, we must fulfill accumulation of merit and wisdom and purification of mental obscuration and negativities. So accumulating merit is essential for bodhicitta and enlightenment. In order to experience and generate the two minds of enlightenment, which are tremendously powerful state of mind, positive states of mind, we must accumulate a tremendous amount of merit. In a sutra called Kyachen Rebe Do, I think it's called Avatamsaka Sutra. I'm not very sure, but I think it is. Buddha said, and Geshe-la quoted the lines, that people who have accumulated a lot of merit, so they will be able to fulfill their wishes. So accumulating merit is our second main point, and it has three supporting points. So So how do we accumulate merit in a very powerful way is we do that in relation to the objects of refuge. So in other words, enlightened gurus or spiritual masters are the source of for accumulating merit, and enlightened beings, and which includes the spirituality or dharma, are the source for accumulating merit, and the spiritual community or sangha is the source for accumulating merit.
Ta lama la tin so khande sa gur se na ane ta dusre ane lame ka gi tu pa ta ta na yi ge ane ta lame song be ane kan je ane rang kang ane tambe che the ba de rang ane ta chigin de dubi ina ta de dubi cheba sanje ma je ba chag yo re sa lama la.
So how do we and how can we accumulate a lot of merit in relation to lamas or gurus or spiritual teachers, if you ask? Of course, there are many ways, you know, through making offerings and rendering service and all that. But the best offering, you know, the two gurus is to practice what gurus teaches us. And in other words, that putting the words of gurus into action, you know, implementing gurus' words is the best offering to gurus.
Dab dina rang ani lame sungba na ge digba pang gyawa tu drup tu be ina ta dab dibo sin na ge da di sebe ina ta lama tele nye be tu yo amar ta nye be karse cheba ge nani drube cheba te lame lama te drube cheba te chot cheba te
So just to simplify this as much as I can, that is, you know, if we listen to the words of the guru, teachings of the guru, and we abandon negativities and we accumulate positive actions, so that is the best offering to gurus. That's what we call the offering of practice, dube cheba. And this is the best kind of offering we could make to gurus, as explained in the Lamrim treatises on the stages of path to enlightenment. Gurus cannot be pleased more than that. If we put their words into practice, we don't create negativities, we do positive things, that will, you know, delight most our gurus.
Sanye kunju sumbala ta ane sanzin ta ane ka dhruve chepa, sanzin ki chepa ta dhruve chepa ta ane suji ta kaang tutu ki pyoguris ta dhruve chepa tangi ki tsawi imba ta danga ane sanzin ki chepa sege na ta rang jorba ta tu ne ki kari ina ta ngobe to ne, ju ngobo tang ne suji kaang tuku du na ta ti nambar tang pa ji, kaang chepa yu me pa ji nga pa ji gogo.
The second sub-point is making offerings to the jewels, ratnas, buddhas, and dharma, and sangha. And here, of course, offerings can be material offerings and offering of practice. Now, the offering of practice, which as I explained, it also applies here too. But in terms of material offerings, now that depends upon our own, situations and abilities. So depending upon our own, the material situation, whatever we could afford, and, you know, then we should make offerings to the three jewels. And when we make offering, it's not so much what we offer, but it's more to do with how do we do that. We make offering with pure motivation, not out of some hidden agenda or, deceptive motivation. We do it out of pure motivation and according to whatever we could afford.
That the ginger was chubby chassis, but the round mevachy thing, blend of the lunch in theta, aniki, yens and any yens dazzo, de kuni, pure than any degree amar, ginger way chubby chassis, the good numbers.
It is stated elsewhere, as Geshe quoted the lines, that it says, you know, whatever we could afford, you know, materially, or whatever we do have, we can make offering of that. So what that really means is that, you know, we don't go out of our way to borrow lump sum money to make offerings. Maybe that's not appropriate. We don't go and steal flowers from the next door neighbor's garden. Geshe-la didn't say that, but steal things from other people and then make offerings. That's not right either. Do according to what we can.
That's it. Then do it. Da sumba de gendi la nyinko tres.
So then the third supporting point is making offering and renting service to Sangha or spiritual community.
Hola. Da gendi de la ani da di res tande. Ta ten ta gendi ta ani so si chewi gendi ni res.
Sangha consists of two. There is what we call ultimate Sangha, and then there is ordinary Sangha.
Ta tanda ni chebra chene sungba te karre sena ane kunchu sune chene kunchu sudu sune te karre sena sosu chiyu gendu le nyiko yet res.
And why in this case, because the three jewels do also include Sangha or spiritual community, you know, because it's a Buddha Dharma Sangha. Now why is Sangha again sort of counted separately here? This is because this has to do with making offerings and rendering service to ordinary Sangha members.
Ani tai gendu la ani ki suje pyu andab tende ta ta ki suje pyu andab tende ta kari ina ta ki kanto tu ji suje pyu beten reste ina ta sena mebe de pyu tabo ji pyu gores.
So again here also when we make offering to you know Sangha of ordinary you know monastics you know we do what we could afford, we are able to do it, and we do it with pure motivation, not out of miserliness. It's just like we make offering but we kind of like, well, not really I want, or that was too much, or whatever. No such you know thoughts and thinkings involved, just do it purely whatever we could, you know, whether it's offering tea to them or whether we are treating them with lunch or dinner or whatever food, but do it as much as we can and out of pure motivation, not out of again any other hidden motivation.
Yes. That individual, that the choice of the sumas.
So that was, you know, the accumulating merit, the second main point, supported by the three sub-points, which are, you know, making offering and rendering service to gurus, making offering to the three jewels, and making offering and rendering service to the sangha, meaning sangha of ordinary monastics.
That thing is the Tawa, the Sumba Saki, Tawa Saki Sumba Dari. Tell Ani Yang, Nasi is Nusin Sum Lucinando was.
Now, the third main point is literally called searching for samadhi or concentration or cultivating concentration. Now, this is supported by three supporting points.
Well, that thing is the Gongkin thing. This thing is Tawa Saki, the thing is the Gongkin thing, the Kandichi Gogresena.
So searching for concentration means those who would like to cultivate concentration. So such meditators or practitioners, what do they need to do? How should they do it? This is what we are talking about here. In other words, what are the qualifications a practitioner or meditator should have who is seeking concentration?
Ta gom jengi de ta tambo karre se na chirim number ta vaji ta susu kan ke lang pe tang se de domba kande ki yena ya ta ting ne pa de apu sung gu res.
So the first thing first, meditators or the practitioners here, whatever vows and commitments they have taken, they should abide purely by those vows and commitments. That is a very important, you know, important qualification.
Hola, ta tele ya de songju de songja de le ne ni yo de res ta ke lang ne ye jin de ta ke kelo dab dene da anes kunjo ko tundu ke lang ni sungya ji ta yang ke malan na yang rangi ko sungya ji ni yores.
So when we talk about what we call, you know, the maybe the broad term we use here is ethics, shultim, shila, morality, which includes vows and commitments. Now the shila or the ethics can be thought of in terms of two different ways. There is ethics because, you know, we promise and we make pledge to keep certain vows and commitments. So that kind of ethics is due to our own willingly making commitment to observe them. But then certain kind of ethics, you know, it is due to the law of nature or because of the nature of certain actions. It's related to that. So therefore in the monastic, the disciplines of ethics, you know, literatures, there's mention of rangshin jikana madhava. Certain actions, you know, whether we have, do not really require any pledge to make. If we do certain actions, because of the nature of such actions constitute negative or positive, it could be. And for example, Rons.
Hema shui tsaya ka megiya chubba luchili namba sum ngagi namba yi sum tsu tsama lo domba yunki ina da domba medingi ina tsama lo tati rangi ke sunga yi chabu.
So the actions, the three negativities of the body, the four of the speech, and three of the mind that I enumerated earlier. So those actions, you know, everybody has to, you know, watch out. In other words, it doesn't matter whether we have made a commitment or pledge to keep certain vows or not. Those actions are, perhaps you could say, universally applicable to one and all. You know, whether we said I'm observing some ethics, whether I made a pledge or not to observe ethics, because if we kill someone, that is negative. Doesn't matter you have a vow or not a vow. It is a negative. Oh, period. Yes. And so that's what we're talking about. So that's the one category of ethics. And the second one is the ethics which involves making pledges and commitments before Buddhas, gurus, and so on.
Tan yimba de karre sena ane jibi lama la to so on de pacher ta rank ane guji ji lama sen guji ji lama sen de do ta rank ngui ji lama de ti lame lama ji jibi lama a tan zo ane so de du ta de ni ta yang wo xiu gu gu ya tan ji.
And the second supporting point for the development of concentration is that we supplicate our spiritual masters or gurus, although here it says lineage gurus, but we do supplicate or earnestly pray to our root gurus or the direct gurus from whom we have received teachings directly, as well as gurus, gurus, and gurus, gurus. So in other words, the lineage masters.
Sunday Karakugris and Ranga Lord, the Chess Lord Chessin Dora, the Chess London Dora, Lana Pachimeva. I thought you wanted this Sunday Kugris.
So, what kind of a prayer or supplication we should make? For example, you know, we supplicate them to bless and inspire us so that we are able to direct our mind genuinely into Dharma or spirituality. So that through their blessing and inspiration, we are able to succeed in cultivating spiritual path within our mind. So that through their blessing and inspiration, we are able to overcome the obstacles on our way and we grow spiritually, successfully towards our goals. So we make such supplication to our direct and lineage gurus or lamas.
Dengi di cawa la ta guju ta nyin tu bai sumba ta kare se na ane ta lu kare se ndunzi ki wen ne ta ne wen ba la de gu ta ne wen ba de ki she.
Now the third supporting point for cultivating concentration or samadhi is that we need to seek solitude or isolation, Wenba. So this consists of two things, isolation of the body and isolation of the mind. So first thing, that in order to be free from the hustle and bustle kind of life, distractions, that we need to seek solitude, quiet place. So in other words, the two qualifications that practitioners or the meditators of concentration should have is that they or we must isolate ourselves physically from all the busy activities, hustle and bustle kind of life, and be in a solitude or peaceful place. And we need to isolate our mind, especially from the hustle and bustle kind of thinking, the thoughts, the preconceptions, all kinds of worries and concerns and anxiety and, you know, hundred of those other things, disturbing thoughts in our mind. So it's very important to isolate our mind from the disturbing thoughts. So as Geshe quoted some lines that in many authentic Buddhist literatures, the importance of having these two qualities, you know, and the need to isolate ourselves, physically and mentally from busyness and, busy activities of life.
No, no. That he told any he is under the dangers.
And additionally, we need mindfulness. We need mindfulness. Yes.
The kanji, the Hindus are mental show. Think it is mental show. Hindus are any uncle. The banking yet the young girl made the tongue is a rushing it.
We also need we do need mindfulness, but the shaking is that's what's slipping in the back of my mind is introspection, because we need to introspection to be able to find out whether or not as we are doing meditation whether our mind is getting distracted or whether it is becoming sluggish. So we need to check whether laxity and excitement are disrupting our meditation. So introspection is a spy that we need to employ, if you will, use here to watch out. So I think those are the important points. Basically we talked about what are the facilities and the qualifications we need to be able to cultivate concentration. So we all need to reflect on this. And we will stop there today, and I have some prayer requests here. I would like to, say the name of a person who passed away. His name is Michael Tumolo, so passed away, and prayer has been requested for him. Now I have a list of people who are feeling unwell, and prayers have been requested for their for recovery of their health issues. And the names are Noreen McLean, Raymond Gottsell, Marjorie Gentleman, Michael Gleason, Anna Lee from Alaska.
No, no. That's the hard one.
Not again.
No, no.
So let us, send our prayers and thoughts for all these people who requested our prayers and thoughts. And, you know, those who passed away, you know, we can send our prayers for them to be able to find good rebirths and then meet with spirituality and from then on take care of themselves, you know, through such positive efforts. In the case of those who are not feeling well, we send our prayers for them to be able to recover from their sicknesses as soon as possible, and as they regain their health, may they be able to, you know, develop interest in positive actions and spirituality, and through their own interest and efforts, may they be able to take good care of themselves, you know, spiritually. Let us dedicate our collective merit for the flourishing of Dharma, the source of benefits and happiness throughout the universe. May His Holiness the Dalai Lama and all other great holy spiritual masters from all traditions live long and be successful in fulfilling their visions, benefiting sentient beings. May spiritual communities throughout the world and spiritual practitioners from all traditions remain healthy, harmonious, and be successful in fulfilling their spiritual aspirations. May this and other world environments be free of all kinds of unwanted pains and problems, and may beings find peace, happiness, prosperity, and spirituality. In short, we dedicate our collective merit for all kind mother sentient beings to be free from the fears and dangers of two types of mental obscuration, and may we all reach complete enlightened state quickly.
Shere
ye chu ye me do tam de ro le ye ni de gen bo de song ye jin do me de wo wo ye no ge nam da wa kin lo she bo jo e da ma gu ru ra na ma de la ba ni a da ya me
Thank you.
Yeah,
can you play?
The day is me again.
Honest. The Losakan, right?
Not again.
Honest.